of cream, red roses too. I see them blue.
Oh, I love Louis Armstrong. This is Ed Cohen. I'm your broadcast host, and you're on Global HR, a talk radio show being broadcast on CRN, the Corporate Relations Network. Well, this show's all about global HR business, managing globally mobile talent for competitive gain. Our special guest today is Marjorie M. Marshall, SCRP, and president of Vandover, a leader in talent mobility. As president and minority owner, Marjorie leads all facets of Vandover, from strategic planning and customer operations through marketing and business development. Marjorie's extensive experience includes senior executive positions with both the Prudential Financial and Cardiff. Marjorie has presided over large global organizations in excess of 2,000 employees and strategically aligned offices in each major region of the world. In addition, Marjorie has led mergers and acquisitions efforts, including evaluation and subsequent integration for domestic and global businesses. Let's welcome Marjorie Marshall.
Hi, Ed. I'm pleased to be here.
Oh, we're really honored to have you and Vandover with us. So today's interview needs to focus on a strategic approach to talent mobility. And as I understand it, there's really three key phases that you'd like to focus on: recruit, relocate, retain. Is that correct?
That is correct. And the reason why we bring those three phases kind of to the forefront is very often when we think of mobility, we only think of that relocate, but really it's a much broader perspective that we're beginning to take as an industry as we look at aligning mobility with talent management.
Yes, it is. Yeah. So the supporting pieces are what?
Well, the supporting pieces, first of all, if we kind of step back a little bit, when we look at the whole support structure, it's even bigger than this. It's something that, you know, we call the talent mobility life cycle. It's something that I developed to kind of say there's got to be a large support structure that within it contains this. We need to recruit, we need to relocate, we need to retain, but there are pieces around that. And what hopefully we're going to talk about is a little bit about why those pieces are so important, what are some of the supportive things that can be done, and what companies are and are not doing.
Okay, so let's go over these three phases again: recruit, relocate, retain. Say again what they mean.
Well, they sound very simple, but so let me tell you each one. Recruit. Recruit sounds like great. You go out and you get a new hire, or you get somebody to say yes to the job offer, and then the relocation. But really, it's a lot more than that. Companies are starting to say, to really have the right recruiting strategy, it can't be just, did we fill the job with a body? It's really got to be objectives about, did we get our first choice candidate to say yes, versus did we get number 5 or 6? And that's where we kind of zone in on recruit. It's about, did you get your first choice candidate? It's a much more strategic slant on the old issue of, where are we with recruiting? With relocate, it's, you know, it's what we traditionally know about. It's the tactical, the logistics of the move. And then retain, it's first of all, do you know if you retained your talent? But is your talent retained with engagement? Are they fully developed in terms of productivity? And do you think that there's a long-term in terms of staying with the organization?
So a lot of this has to do with selection, assessment and selection, particularly if there's a family involved, and making sure that the family members are cared for up front and not as an afterthought. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And in fact, back to that schematic, the talent mobility cycle, right before recruit, we have the phase of assessment. And so it really is about eyes wide open from a company perspective. Do we know why we're filling this job? What kind of candidate are we looking at? What plans do we have in place? But you're absolutely right, Ed. It's also from the candidate's perspective and loved one that may be moving with that person, such as wife or husband or partner and children. Are they going in with eyes wide open, assessing the viability of the relocation or international assignment?
So you work with partners, other business people, essentially partners, to make sure that you're providing excellent service to the corporation, but to the family. Is that right?
Exactly right. It's really a couple of pieces of as far as actual support. For the spouse or partner, in the majority of cases, they have a career. And depending on where they're moving, if they can work and want to work, will help them with their career strategy for the new location. For the spouse, family, and the employee, there's this issue of getting them integrated into the community. So long-term support to make sure that they're engaged in the community, they're happy. We all know for international assignments, the number one reason for a failed assignment is usually the spouse isn't happy. So those are key components, the issue of career support and the issue of employee, spouse, and family support for community integration.
Let's jump aside for a second here, Marjorie Marshall. When you were in an earlier life running the Prudential relocation, how's things different today from back then?
Things are different in a number of ways. I mean, first of all, what I'm running now is entirely different. Running a relocation company, it is about primarily all of those relocation logistics, which are an array of things that need to be managed and managed well in terms of helping the employee and family get moved from A to B. And if it's a national assignment, give some support in most cases during the assignment. What I'm doing now is more on the career side and integration side and assessment side in running Vandover. But what's changed is for the industry as a whole is we are all scrambling to the table saying, how do we get more strategic? How do we're all buzzing around saying we've got to align mobility to talent management. What does that really mean? We've been in the logistics business. So it really is a pretty big shift in skill set, in attitude, perspective, to make a shift from heavy logistics to really strategy, assessment, and longer-term support.
And having a global mindset.
Totally. Thank you. That is kind of a precursor to all of this, a global mindset, which means many things, embracing change, embracing diversity in the broadest sense, and really paradigm shift in the way that you look at your processes, your models, your programs. It truly is a whole new world, no pun implied, and it's an exciting time.
Okay, now let's jump aside again and talk about this graphic idea that you guys have created. I know this is audio, so let's get people to close their eyes and imagine this big screen in front of them. Describe the graphic about talent mobility cycle.
I'd love to, Ed. If they close their eyes and they look at a circle, there's a starting point. You put your finger on that circle, and the starting point is strategize. You can't look at all of this if we say we're going to have a more strategic approach and try to align these key phases unless you start with a strategy. So instead of, oh, my gosh, we just need to fill that job in Beijing, and there is no plan about what kind of job, do we need to fill it long-term, short-term, et cetera. So you start with strategy. Move your finger down on the circle. The next phase is assess. So you have a big strategy. You've got to then say, I've got to assess what I really need in terms of the job and the fit with a candidate. And for the family, as I alluded before, it's their opportunity to start to assess whether or not this is a viable move for them, and in most cases it will be, but then what are their priorities? So it's really an evaluation assessment by the company and the candidate employee. The next phase, the third phase, would be recruit. Okay, we've got a strategy. We know what we're doing. We and the employee have assessed it. We say, yes, let's go. And recruit means current or new hire. They say, I'm in. I'm in for that job in that location. Yes, I'll do the relocation. So that's an acceptance. The fourth phase is develop. Okay, they've moved. They're in their job. They're developing. And we all should be thinking that's one of the bigger objectives out there is to move the person, but are they engaged and are they productive and are they getting developed in this new assignment? And are they really there? The relocation logistics go around that, so that's your next box, and that many of us are very familiar with. And then it's, okay, we've done all this, we've assessed it, we've got the right candidate, the candidate said yes, we've developed the plan, the program, we've got them ready. They have made the move. They've relocated. Then the big question, which a lot of people talk about right now, is what do we have in place to retain that employee? And are we measuring the success of that assignment? And then finally, there's an evaluation, which brings in the metrics, the review process, which so often is not done, and then the cycle starts all over again with strategy. So it's strategize, assess, recruit, develop, relocate, retain, evaluate, and start all over again. And the whole time, there's a monitoring going on, which means measurements, oversight, learnings, and there's alignment between all those phases instead of them being disparate kind of things that happen with no glue holding it together.
And succession planning. What
is succession planning is huge for this. Succession planning is a great point. Can really happen right at that strategize and assess process. We work with some companies that are saying, you know what, we've got all these high potentials. And many of them say, yes, I'd love an international assignment. But then I always say to them, well, how many of them say yes when you finally tap them and say, Bob, Susie, you said you'd want an assignment. And they go, well, I was only kidding, or I don't think so. So are there things that we can do for succession planning way in the early stages of your talent pool, your grooming of your talent pool, to say we've not only groomed them to know they've got the talent, the expertise, but have we really validated the interest and the ability to take an assignment? And then the back end succession planning is that, did we retain the talent? You know, we've got all this intellectual capital by having Bob in Taipei. Did we really groom that intellectual capital? Did we retain that talent that we and he made such an investment in? So, because we're building bench. So the issue of succession planning starts at the front end, ideally with the candidate pool, ideally before we even have the person that we're going to move. It's really back to our best talent for assignments. Are we really doing some kind of validation early on?
And repatriation support.
It's huge. You know what? I was just talking to some folks this morning, and I said, you know, all of these things, it's finally the crescendo. It's all coming around as an industry. You know, we've been talking about repatriation for years,
right.
We meaning the industry.
Right.
And I believe, finally, companies are going to put their money where their mouth is in terms of saying, we better start caring more about retention than we even did in the past. The talent wars we all know about, the issue of, we all don't have a lot of people just hanging around. We're all lean. And so the issue of retaining that talent is huge, and repatriation is a key element. We work with some clients where with their employees, 6 months or so before they repatriate, we coach them about, okay, what were your objectives on assignment? Let's evaluate how you did, and let's together package the great things, your great message, about what you were able to produce as far as results on this assignment so that you can then have a plan within your company for a repatriation into the right job with the right kind of, the right kind of acknowledgement from your company. So there's a fit versus what we very often see is, you know, oh, my gosh, Bob's moving back in 2 months. What the heck are we going to do with him? And then what you have is an issue of, not only did you not repatriate them right, Bob's probably gone in 6 months.
What are the pillars, the columns, the goalposts here, the five pillars for your HR strategy and planning?
Oh, HR strategy and planning, it is a group that I'm involved in. I feel very blessed to be part of it because it's a group that really is primarily chief HR officers. And it's nationwide. I'm on a local board, but I get involved with the nationwide board, which is now a global group. I just was at the global conference about a month ago. And it's a group that is designed to really focus on the higher level strategic initiatives from an HR perspective. And so the five pillars are the whole issue of strategic planning from a talent perspective. Another one would be organizational development, back to your point about succession planning, et cetera. There's also the one about talent management, which, again, most organizations don't just talk about HR anymore. They talk about talent management. And then there are two others. One is about best practices, to make sure that we're constantly looking at best practices and new ways to do things. And the fifth one is really more about analysis. Because more and more, from a talent perspective, companies aren't just talking about metrics looking in the rears, but they're talking about predictive analytics. If we really get the right data about our talent, will it start to tell us some things where we can forecast what's going to happen with our talent in the future? So it's really exciting. Out of those five pillars, the three that mostly marry up beautifully to the world we live in terms of global mobility, would be strategic planning, would be talent management, and organizational development. So it's a great place to be involved in, because I really get to be rubbing elbows and be involved in so much good stuff going on from an HR executive perspective.
Well, let's jump aside for a second, Marjorie Marshall. I know that Vandover has recently released a mobility survey that focused in on what companies are actually doing now that the economy appears to be strengthening. Tell us about the Vandover Mobility Survey.
We've done it 2 years in a row, Ed. It's a relatively short survey because we really wanted to go for kind of a sweet spot. We wanted to talk specifically about mobility in a more kind of a wider scope in terms of not just the relocation itself, but really the life cycle of talent mobility. And we wanted to zoom in on some key metrics, because you and I know forever everybody's been talking about ROI is the holy grail, and yet in most cases when you'd ask people, well, what are you measuring, you know, that you'd kind of get a blank. We've been really all challenged with this. And so this survey really focused in on some key phases, and it would be the recruit, relocate, and retain, and a few key metrics.
So a few key metrics, like measurement of that, of how many employers are handling repatriation right or something like that?
Yes, and even a little bit more granular. We wanted to kind of look specifically about starting first with what are a few key metrics that companies, you know, should, and many are saying they are interested, measuring. And then we can talk about what programs might make sense. So, for instance, one of them would be, you know, how many companies are really out there measuring failure rates? Do you know? You know, not only do you know if you retain the talent, but was the job accomplished? And what we found over the last 2 years, the good news is we've seen some positive trending in terms of companies' awareness around these metrics and key initiatives that would align with them, and measurements. We're still not what we want to be, but we've seen some good things. And for instance, with failure rates, we found this year that 87% of the employers reported said that they weren't measuring failure rates, but that means that there are 13% that are. 13% is a lot higher than it was prior year. So we're seeing it's baby steps, but they're important baby steps, that companies are beginning to say, you know what, we really need to measure whether or not that assignment was a success and have a clear definition of what we determine to be a successful. How do we measure success for an assignment? So that was one of them.
So what's failure mean?
Well, that's it. Failure, you know, we allow them to define it. However they may define it, for some companies, failure means the person didn't repatriate. The assignment was aborted. They didn't go full assignment. For some companies, failure means they came back. We kept the employee after the assignment. They completed it, but then they left the organization. Failure rate most strategically would be we had very clear, defined objectives for that assignment. And not only did the employee go through the full assignment, and not only did we retain that talent, but all of the business objectives we put into that assignment were accomplished. That would be the broadest, most exciting way to look at success or failure rates. But at a starting point, I'm happy to even see companies starting to say it's important, and at least I'm tracking whether or not the person went full assignment or stayed with the company. Those are at least starting points.
So let's talk about people who could be our kids, the millennials coming into the workforce. And they all seem to be hot to trot. They want to go on an international assignment. Do they care about a package of relocation benefits?
They do. They do, but, you know, it's not, you know, it's different spokes for different folks. You know, because many of the millennials that are saying, gosh, I'm biting at the bit to go on international assignment, many of them are single. And many of them, you know, aren't homeowners. So it's still an important relocation or assignment, but it doesn't have a lot of the strings attached. So it's simpler, relatively speaking. So that's why more and more companies are saying one policy doesn't fit all. We really need to figure out how we stratify our policy because our workforce is getting more and more diverse in terms of age, ethnicity. I mean, diversity again in all respects. But yes, they are anxious to go on these assignments.
Okay, as we close this interview, boy, I'd love to go on and on and on, but we're running out of time here. So tell us about your life outside of Vandover. I know you have a life. There's a balance there somewhere, right?
There's balance there. In fact, I'm proud of the fact I've done a much better job with balance over the last 5 years or so. Because let me tell you, I am one of those people that was way off the charts as far as balance for a good part of my career. You know, we can learn over time. Oh, I'm very involved in some outside activities, some not-for-profits, some of which I try to do to support women in business. You know, I'm really big on that because I think there are a lot of women coming out of school who can really leverage some mentorship for some of us that have been around for a while and learn things on our own. So I do some of that. I'm big in outdoor activities. I love to travel. And, of course, family and friends are the most important. I had dinner last night with two former employees that are still in the relocation space last night from two different parts of the world. And, you know, that's the priceless part about, you know, being able to move around this industry and with balance still build a lot of great relationships and over time build wonderful friendships.
So we've been talking with Marjorie Marshall, SCRP, president of Vandover. How can people get in touch with you and how do they get to your website?
They can get to our website at vandover.com. So it's really easy. They can call us in the U.S., they could call me direct, 314-523-7527. They could reach me at mmarshall@vandover.com.
Talking with Marjorie Marshall, president of Vandover. This is Ed Cohen, your broadcast host of Global HR Talk Radio, globalhrbusiness.com. Thank you, and signing off from Old Town in San Diego.
I think to myself, what a wonderful